Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the Dynasty Warzone, the People's Dynasty Podcast, and here are your hosts, Memphis at DFF Memphis, and Jerry at Jerry Sin DFF.
What's happening, guys? Happy Wednesday, and it is Memphis at DFF Memphis, and thank you for tuning in to the Dynasty Warzone, the People's Dynasty Podcast, and we are the flagship podcast of the DynastyFootballFactory.com, as well as proud members of the Dynasty Football Network at DF underscore network on Twitter. But here he is, the listener league putting together son of a gun. You know him as the man of the hour, the man with the power, at Jerry Sinclair. Jerry, what's going on, buddy?
Jeez, I got it together. I mean, that's the good news. It was not easy. It was a struggle. I do have a full head of hair, but it will be gray soon.
And that beard's got some gray in there. You're trying to pull off my look. But thanks, everybody. The first 11 in the listener league. We know there's a few more. You'll be in a league with me. We'll have that up and running soon. We need to get a few more people in there. But how do you get in the league with me and a handful of others? It's real simple. Go over to iTunes. Leave a 5-star review. All you have to do is leave those 5 stars and your Twitter handle in the comments. If you want to write some nice comments, like our friends Big Dog, that's Dog with 2 A's and 2 W's, so that's like Big Dog, and a guy who must be a fan of Jerry Sinclair because he entitled his the Fan of the Hour. They both left 5 stars. If you guys are interested in joining the Listener League, make sure you reach out to Jerry and I on Twitter, and you are way too kind. The Patreon feed is live. Just go to patreon.com/DynastyWarzone. The first post is up. It's about a 30-minute podcast. I'm talking about wide receivers and why they're getting smaller. It's about 30 minutes, and yeah, go there and check that out. I believe it's pinned to the top of our Dynasty Warzone Twitter handle, which you can follow at Dynasty Warzone on Twitter and on Instagram. But tonight, we're going to bring our guest on a little bit early. I'm a little excited. Jerry, you excited for our guest?
Oh, just bring him on.
Just bring the man on. Our guest tonight is Doug Eddy, a.k.a. Da Fantasy Father on Twitter. And he is known for co-hosting one of the best and OG Dynasty podcasts around, the Dynasty Happy Hour, with his homies Tyler Gunther and Tim Keller. But he also hosts the Trophy Time podcast, and he writes for the TFFGurus.com. Please welcome to the Dynasty Warzone, Mr. Doug Eddy.
Hey, what's happening, guys? Happy I could be here this evening. It is my son's 6th birthday today, so had some nice celebrating going on earlier. So I'm going to celebrate with you guys on this podcast. Let's roll.
No, let's roll. Now, if you're not listening to the Dynasty Happy Hour, shame on you. It is a great podcast. They I can tell you because I've been listening for so long. They record most Sunday evenings, and they drop most Monday mornings. Is that correct?
Yeah, we literally record and then Tyler edits and puts it out like just after midnight. So the turnaround time is pretty quick. But yeah, that is accurate. That's our schedule, which has been tough because Game of Thrones, you know, there's only one more episode, the finale. I had to watch this one on the DVR this past week because of recording times. But when things happen, especially during the season on Sunday nights, when my Patriots are playing on Sunday night and I have to miss the game, I get a little extra salty on the podcast.
Yes, you do. And I forgot to mention Justin McCaslin. That's correct, right?
Yes.
Because you guys actually have like a four-man booth and you guys rotate around.
Yeah, he's our guy out of the bullpen. So when I miss a show or Tim or Tyler can't be there, we call in Justin and say, hey, get out here. Enter Sandman starts to play. He walks out of the bullpen and here he comes right to the mound. He's ready to go.
Now, I have to assume with that accent and the fact that you're a Patriots fan that you're probably a Red Sox fan too.
Wait, do I have an accent?
Just a hair. I say the same thing. I don't know
you
what
don't
you're talking
about. Wicked, so I mean, that's good.
Wicked hard.
Oh, you're a Tommy Sweeney kid. I love that guy. Yes, I do enjoy the Red Sox. I'm not as big of a baseball fan as I used to be when I was a child. I used to watch all the Jim Rice, Dewey Evans, Roger Clemens with my dad. Baseball is just too boring for me now.
Yep.
Well, but that is one thing we have in common. Now, I am a Red Sox fan and have been since I was 9 years old. My favorite player was Roger Clemens.
Yeah.
And I learned what struggle was at a very young age. But hey, we've had a good run in the 2000s. So nothing about that. So just going to jump into a little bit of news. But is there anything that you want to share with the people about what's going on with the Dynasty Happy Hour? I know you guys just redid your website. Anything like that?
Yeah, so we just redid the website on Dynasty Happy Hour. We, too, have a Patreon, so you can search for that Dynasty Happy Hour on Patreon.com. We get an extra episode each week. It's usually 20 to 30 minutes. Sometimes we're just goofing on just life stuff, but we do have fantasy content in there, too. It's unedited. Not unedited, but it's explicit material, so that's always fun because I get to be like, I swear like a sailor in real life, so it's fun to be able to kind of let loose and let the frustrations flow through you on that particular Patreon episode, which is nice. But yeah, we got that. Trophy time is more. We focus a lot on redraft, but we do focus on Dynasty in the offseason. So we've been doing that every other week. My co-host on there, Joshua Trotta, you can find him on Twitter at Trotta23. He just had a baby, so we're taking a couple weeks off, and then we'll be back with more content. And as far as TFF Gurus goes, my brother-in-law and I started the website a few years ago. Now we have a team of 8 writers. We do the podcast Trophy Time every week during the season and up until. And then I do a separate podcast every week. It's kind of like my, not necessarily sit or start, but I go through every single game and give you like fantasy nuggets on almost every single fantasy relevant player. So I bring you that every week during the season too. And that's all free content over at tffgurus.com. So definitely check that out too.
Yeah, I love shows like that where you break every game down and you give out those nuggets. But since you're a New England fan, I want to get into a little bit of news. So here we go.
This is the news.
All right, this is the news. Josh McDaniels, you know him. He is the Patriots offensive coordinator. He said that he is not sure of what the offense will look like now that Rob Gronkowski has retired. So I'm going to start with our guest. Doug, what do you think the Patriots offense is going to look like now that Gronk is a retired tight end?
Well, I think just based on a few of their draft picks. So first of all, they take N'Keal Harry in the first round, which everyone loves, right? So he's going to replace some of the size in the red zone that Gronk had. And they signed Dontrell Inman, who's 6'3". So they signed him. There's another guy with size. They draft Jacoby Myers. They didn't draft Jacoby Myers, but he's an undrafted free agent out of South Carolina or NC State. I can't remember. One of the Carolinas. He's 6'1". They draft Damian Harris to, in essence, back up Sony Michel. But I think he's going to be their short yardage back because Sony Michel was not very good in that role last year. I watched pretty much every snap of the Patriots. I think this is going to be a run heavy offense, and because Tom Brady isn't as good as he used to be, he still gets the job done. I'm not throwing shade at Tom Brady. He's won 6 Super Bowls, but you can see some of the polish coming off of Tom Brady's skills. He doesn't throw the deep ball as well as he used to. He's not quite as accurate as he used to be in medium range as well. So I think it's going to be run the football a ton, and then they're going to use these big guys in the red zone without Gronk there. Because, I mean, Austin Seferian Jenkins isn't going to replace him. They signed Ben Watson. Spoiler alert. Hopefully put the cart in front of the horse. But, you know, who's a nice signing? But I really think they're going for size in the passing game, and they are going to run the crap out of the football. They got Harris. They have Michelle. They still have James White. Rex Burkhead's still there for now. They drafted a couple of offensive linemen. They just signed Jared Valdir the other day. That used to be with the Denver Broncos. So to me, this tells me their offense isn't going to change that much from last year where they ran the ball quite a bit. If not, it might be even more run heavy in 2019.
So you mentioned Damian Harris. So is there a Patriot that you're buying, and is there a Patriot that you're selling based on what you've seen so far in the offseason?
I would say if I'm contending for a title, I'm trying to acquire Julian Edelman relatively affordable because the path is still there for a metric ton of targets. So if I'm a win now team, I think Edelman is a rock solid wide receiver too. As far as like younger players, I am trying to acquire Damian Harris. He's going in the late second round in rookie drafts. I got him relatively affordable in my Pigs 2 auction. I think he was like $70, which was actually less expensive than like a copy of like Dexter Williams and Darwin Thompson went for when it was all said and done. So I think Damian Harris, you know, if Sony Michel goes down with an injury, Rex Burkhead is a fragile Freddy. He can't carry the ball 20 times a game. James White can't carry the ball 20 times a game. Damian Harris, one Michelle injury away from being a potential RB1 in fantasy. And you can get him in the late second round in most of your rookie drafts.
An easy trade target, too. All right, Jerry, anything to add? Are you targeting anyone in New England?
I don't know how you top Doug's explanation of that whole situation, but you can see by the fact that they went N'Keal Harry in the first and they went Damian Harris that they did think there was a void on offense. I've been hoping and praying for Tom Brady's demise since about 1999 as a Michigan State fan. It has yet to come. So I'm not going to assume that he's not still awesome. He can get the job done no matter what. You could put me out there running a 6'3" 40 and he would still get me for 3 touchdowns.
I agree with both of you guys. And Doug mentioned Julian Edelman. I'll throw in James White. Trust is a hell of a thing. And Tom Brady, Tom Brady trusts James White. When the chips are down, I'll never forget the down 28-3. They don't get down much more than that. And they rode James White in his pass catching. So
should have been the MVP, by the way.
I agree 100%. But that would be my New England buy. I think he's a guy that I don't know that he'll finish as a running back one like he did last year in PPR, but I think he's a safe top 15, 18 option at the position that you can get way cheaper than that. So speaking of pass catching running backs, Duke Johnson said he will participate in Cleveland's OTAs, but has made his desire to be traded known. Jerry, is the Duke going to be a ruling over another team?
Yeah, I think so. I don't know why you keep him. I get that he's a good pass catcher, but you know, Kareem Hunt will be too. So is Nick Chubb. There's too much meat on that bone in the backfield of Cleveland. So I don't think he personally stays there. I can totally understand where he's coming from. If I was him, why would you want to be there too? I mean, I get that you went through the struggle of Cleveland and you're seeing a reemergence, but at some point, for his financial sake, the boy needs to play and he needs people to see him play, and he's good. And I would like to see him in a place, you know, Miami or something. Let me see Duke Johnson get unleashed.
You're trying to send him back to college, Tim? Are you a Duke Johnson guy? And I personally don't see him getting traded until Kareem Hunt's suspension is either up or almost up at the NFL deadline. What do you think is going to go on in Cleveland?
I think if they were going to trade Duke Johnson, they would have done it before the draft, because that's when you really make the player moves. I mean, the only reason I can see them trading Duke Johnson is if they go to acquire. There's been rumors of them acquiring Gerald McCoy from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who has a large salary. How about that? Throw Duke Johnson to Tampa in a package for Gerald McCoy. You know, Duke Johnson's making, I think, $4 or $5 million a year when he signed that extension last year. McCoy's making big money, but that could be a money swap, and I could see something like that happening. Outside of that, if they're not going to do a trade for another player, I think Duke Johnson is going to stay there, and he might be a little bit of a malcontent. But I think that, you know, you have to have that insurance with Nick Chubb there, Kareem Hunt suspended. I mean, you're going to have what, like undrafted Darren Hall come in and help out, or sign a veteran running back? Like, keep Duke Johnson on the team and then, you know, see where it goes, unless they make a deal for like a Gerald McCoy and they're just doing salary swaps. And boy, all the Ronald Jones owners would love that move.
We're getting ready to talk about that. So I like the segue to Tampa Bay, because last week it was, I don't say a big deal, but people were mentioning, oh, they signed Kerwin Williams in Tampa Bay. Well, he got cut. And I say bring on all the Bruce Anderson. I am a huge Bruce Anderson guy. I've gotten him at the 5-12 in 2 rookie drafts so far, and I drafted him a little bit earlier in a third. I mean, there's not much between him and the number one running back role there in Tampa Bay. As a Bruce Anderson believer, my heart would be broken if they brought in a Duke Johnson. But, Jerry, are you a Bruce Anderson guy?
I think you have gotten me to be a Bruce Anderson guy.
You're mostly damn right, Jerry.
Mostly I'm just not a Ronald Jones or a Peyton Barber guy. So if it's sort of like the same situation with Myles Gaskin. I keep scooping up Myles Gaskin late in my rookie drafts just because I don't love Kenyon Drake and I don't love Kalen Ballage. And that's sort of that same situation.
I heard a painful sigh.
Yes. Oh yeah, it was a wince or a whimper.
I've been a Ballage guy for a while. I just love the athleticism, the pass catching ability. Now I understand that his vision isn't very good, and you know, the yards after contact I think is something that he could improve on. But I read a report that he's been working with Frank Gore in the offseason, who's just turned 78 yesterday, I think.
78, but yeah, still employed.
Kalen Ballage, I really liked Ballage profile. You know, I'm partial to him because he was my first ever Devy player. So there's like, my heart is with Kalen Ballage. I like Kenyon Drake. I think Kenyon Drake is severely underrated. I mean, he was a top, 16 or 17 running back, and it didn't seem that. When you look at the numbers at the end of the season, you're like, oh, Drake was an RB2? What? Snuck up on you. He's sneaky good. But yeah, Bruce Anderson, I like Bruce Anderson, and I think, you know, Memphis getting him late in your rookie drafts is definitely the play, hoping that the guys in front of him, you still have Jaquizz Rodgers there, gross. You have Ronald Jones, and I'm a Peyton Barber guy. Like, I just love a guy that grinds in between the tackles. He gets extra yardage, like that old school football player. So that I kind of like Peyton Barber a little bit. But yeah, Bruce Anderson, if he shows out in training camp and outplays Rojo, and then maybe he shares a backfield with Peyton Barber. Maybe Barber gets pushed to the side. I mean, you can definitely draw a story where you could see that happening. So that's definitely worth a late round rookie pick.
Well, I'll have to soften Tyler up to let him know that you said a few bad things about Rojo, so he'll welcome you back to the Dynasty Happy Hour, because there's there's no bigger Rojo believer than our friend Tyler. But speaking of guys that have had a bad run of luck, Joe Flacco, you know, he was starting quarterback last year in Baltimore. They draft Lamar Jackson at the very last pick of the first round, loses his job midway through the season, gets traded to Denver, and what's Denver do? They also draft a young quarterback. They drafted Drew Locke. Now, Flacco just comes right out and says, I'm not here to mentor a young quarterback. I'm here to be the starter. Does that bother you, Jerry, that he's not willing to mentor him?
No, just his presence is going to mentor Drew Locke. Just seeing someone that's a bona fide professional. Has he been a superstar that deserved all the money that he's gotten? No, but you know, he is a bona fide professional that's been in this league for a decade. He's won a Super Bowl. Drew Locke, if you're smart, you better pay attention to the man. Even if he doesn't go out of his way to show you those things, learn a thing or two, young blood.
Doug, Flacco or Locke?
I think it's kind of a jerk move for Flacco to say something like that publicly, to be honest. I don't know that gains him anything from the locker room. You know, when you're thinking as a team to come out and say that, I could see where guys in a locker room would be like, really? But I don't know. I think it's kind of, and it's, if Joe Flacco was an elite quarterback, then it wouldn't come off as cocky, but it comes off as cocky for a guy that's barely hanging on to a career.
Well, hey, now John Elway said that Joe Flacco is elite and just coming into his prime. So we're going to find out who's right and who's wrong.
Well, I like to justify my bad signings too, but
someone needs to tell John Elway that repeating a lie doesn't make it true. Kyle Rudolph, there's another veteran. Talks have broken off with Minnesota, and it looks like he's going to be gone. And that's too bad. I know he's really ingrained in the community up there. He's actually a pretty good tight end, and he's not even 30. So if he can play to that Jason Witten age, he can got like another decade left in the NFL. So, Jerry, where would you like to see Kyle Rudolph land when it's almost, I don't want to say it's for certain, but it's about 95% that he gets cut. Where do you think he winds up?
Oh, baby, just land with touchdown time in New England. I mean, that's the easiest spot, right? I mean, yeah, they got Jenkins and they signed Watson, but Kyle Rudolph's actually good at football and would actually score touchdowns. So and listen, maybe it's because I'm just a sucker, but I do like Kyle Rudolph a ton, and I own Kyle Rudolph everywhere because I like those guys that are not sexy at the tight end position. So if he lands with someone like Tom Brady, baby.
Yeah. So if you look at the Kyle Rudolph, much like Kenyon Drake, when you look at the year end stats and you're like, oh, Kyle Rudolph was like the tight end 7 or 8 last year. And which, I mean, isn't saying a ton. Literally, we say on, especially on Trophy Time, like you get 30 yards and a touchdown, you're a tight end one. So it's not like a super unachievable thing. But Kyle Rudolph finished as a top 7 or 8 tight end last year. And he only had one really, really good game, if I remember. I think he had a 2-touchdown, like 80-yard game towards the end of the season, which helped him. But if he goes to New England, it's going to have to be cheap. They've got some salary cap issues, especially after signing Watson and Valdir and Demaryius Thomas. So I think my perfect spot for Kyle Rudolph would be Oakland. I think that they've got the cap. They've got cap room available there. He could go in there, make some good money. And the only thing they have at the tight end position, they've been talking up Darren Waller, former Baltimore Ravens tight end, which is like everyone in the league. But they also have, they drafted Foster Moreau, which I like as a prospect, but I think he's raw. I don't think he's going to start in year one. So why not slide Rudolph right into that spot, an immediate starter to help out Antonio Brown and Tyrell Williams and to help out Derek Carr and then new running back Josh Jacobs. Like that would make that offense just that much more better to bring in a veteran tight end that especially can be fantasy relevant to help those guys in Kyle Rudolph. I would love that spot from a fantasy perspective, the best for Kyle Rudolph.
I'm going to throw one out there. Now, they did trade for Jacob Hollister, and they already have going into second year Will Disley and the forever hurt Ed Dixon. But what about Kyle Rudolph winding up in Seattle with Russell Wilson? Obviously,
they
just lost Doug Baldwin. But they've got the cap room. I just checked on under Spotrac. And they've got about $26 million in cap, so they'd have some money to be able to sign him. So, and that also gives me a cheap segue into Doug Baldwin retire. So this happens a lot on the Dynasty Warzone. We record on Tuesdays, and a lot of NFL news breaks on Wednesdays for whatever reason. So Doug Baldwin retired last week. I didn't think the injuries were that bad, but he posted some stuff on social media saying that his time was up. Jerry, how many shares of Doug Baldwin did you get burned by?
Only one, and it was in a startup this year. So that's what I get, I guess, for taking him. I've never been a huge Doug Baldwin guy, and, you know, not that that was a smart move on my choice. You know, he's been solid. He's just, I don't know, one of those guys that where he was going, I never took him. So I don't have many, but it makes me excited to see DK Metcalf. I've been down on him too, but you know, if he's going to get opportunity, I want to see that big boy run.
You mispronounced Gary Jennings Jr.
No, stop it.
Doug, anything? I know you're a bit of a Gary Jennings fan. Is that correct?
I don't know a ton about Gary Jennings. Actually, there's been a lot of Twitter buzz over Gary Jennings in this last week. Ever since the news of Doug Baldwin, him and what's the other kid, John Ursua, I think.
Yeah, he's the seventh rounder out of Hawaii.
Yeah, so there's that kid too. Yeah, I mean Gary Jennings fits the Doug Baldwin mold and type. So, I mean, he could have a path to targets in year one. And he's a guy that in a lot of 4-round rookie drafts is going undrafted as of a week ago. Now you're starting to see him creep in there. But he's definitely a priority free agent. If you already had your draft and your waivers haven't run yet, throw some fab at Gary Jennings because he, like I said, he could have a path to targets here in year one, which would be pretty exciting.
No, I agree. And then one I put on the show sheet specifically for our guest because he was asking about Daryl Henderson and J.J. Arcega-Whiteside in a draft that he was recently in. And Les Snead, GM of the L.A. Rams, is comparing Daryl Henderson to Alvin Kamara. Now, that just like got my, like, you know, licking my chops. thinking about an offensive line like Todd McVay, and anybody being compared to Alvin Kamara, obviously Todd Gurley's still there. I don't think Todd Gurley's right. You don't give your best player, arguably, 11 touches in the Super Bowl if he's healthy and then get zero surgery in the offseason. And it's like if you've ever seen the movie Animal House, there's a scene with Kevin Bacon where he's screaming at the end, "Everything's fine. All is well." And that's what I feel like Todd Gurley owners are doing. So I love Daryl Henderson. I got sniped today by one pick. He went right in front of me. And I hate that. So, but are you excited? You ended up drafting Henderson. How are you feeling?
Yep. So I had the 112. I'm the league champion. Congrats to me. I'm in the 112 hole. And before the draft, you know, for the last month or so, because J.J. Arcega-Whiteside was my number 3 wide receiver going into the draft. I pretty much moved him to my number 2 after the draft because I love the landing spot. Not necessarily for year one, but it was between Arcega-Whiteside and Darrell Henderson. Now the reason I was coming around on Henderson is because I own Todd Gurley. I have him for 2 more years. This is a contract year league. He's making I have a significant investment for him salary cap wise. A lot of moving parts in this league. So I had to tell myself, look, the guys right after me are probably going to take Jarrell Henderson because it's an advantage to them. If I don't take him and Todd Gurley goes down with an injury, they have Jarrell Henderson who could be an RB1, and that hurts me. So I ended up taking Henderson at the 12 spot because I looked at it this way. Would I be able to live with myself if I passed up on Henderson, Gurley goes down with an injury, and then Henderson ends up being like the most amazing rookie running back this year? No, I would be so pissed at myself. I would be like, why didn't I trust my process? So I ended up taking Henderson as Gurley insurance. Plus, I think that Gurley, you know, he's used to touching the ball over 300 times a year. I think that they're going to reduce him down to like 200, 225, and they're going to work Henderson in like they did Kamara. I mean, why wouldn't you? If you just spent a ton of money on Todd Gurley, who doesn't have any kind of salary cap relief until 2022, you can't cut him, right? So protect your asset, give him less of a workload, and mix Henderson in. I think it's a perfect landing spot for him. And I was able to get J.J. Arcega-Whiteside a little bit later. So at the 2-1, Hakeem Butler went, which I was surprised. Anywho, it's a home league, so things are a little weird. 2-2, Hollywood Brown. 2-3, Mecole Hardman. 2-4, Noah Fant. I ring up my cousin. I'm like, hey, I want to move into the 2-5. What's it going to take? He didn't know who I wanted because I don't tell him. So I was like, look, I'll give you the 2-12 and a 2023rd to move into the 2-5. So he accepts it, and I get Arcega-Whiteside. And then after that, the only other player that was even near that tier was Irv Smith Jr. But I was really happy to trade back up in the draft and get the guy that I was going to take at 1-12. At the 2-5. I was ecstatic.
Well, what I took away from that was the expression, cover your assets. So you should always cover your ass sets.
Out of all the great analysis that man just came up with.
Jerry, you're the king of the poop sandwich. And speaking of which, you're not getting one because your boy Devonta Freebird Freeman will be ready for camp. And they didn't bring in any real competition for touches in that backfield outside of Allison, the kid out of Pitt in like the late fifth round. So how are you feeling?
He's just a big bowling ball. Quadri Olison, I mean, he's all right. But yeah, I'm excited. You know damn well I'm excited about Devonta Freeman. The problem is so is everybody else. And it's like...
the discount's fading on Devonta Freeman.
Yeah, exactly. Come on, man. And every league that I didn't get him in, now they're like, oh, no, they didn't draft anybody. I'm just going to keep him. Yeah, I bet you are.
All the Ito Smith.
Yeah, I drafted Devonta and Freeman in a startup I'm in with Jerry, and I hedged my Freeman bet with a little Ito later in the draft. So then a couple of quick hitters. If any of this does anything for you, just jump on in. Emmanuel Sanders won't be back till mid-July. I don't know that he's ever back. 32-year-old coming off of an Achilles tear. No bueno. Mark Walton resurfaces in Miami with the Dolphins. He went to school at the U, so... yeah, we already talked about how crowded that backfield is. Kenneth Dixon's roster spot is in trouble. I filed that one under no shit. They drafted Justice Hill, and they brought in Mark Ingram in free agency. Of course, his roster.
Kenneth Dixon looked good last year, though.
I think he has like some kind of picture of Harbaugh in a compromising position with a sheep, because for whatever reason, suspension, injury, no matter what, Harbaugh always saves a roster spot for this guy. It'll probably wind up being Gus Edwards.
Saying his name is Jim Harbaugh.
Oh, I see what you did there. And you already mentioned the Dontrell Inman and Ben Watson signings in New England. Any of that do anything for anybody?
No.
I have Ken Dixon in a couple spots.
I do too. And I keep holding out hope that there's hope. But, you know what else? There was that movie that Hope Floats. You know what else floats, Jerry?
Yeah, you don't tell me.
Poop floats.
Sandra Bullock and
Harry Connick Jr.
Oh, Harry Connick.
He was super hot. Not like, I don't know, man. I mean, I guess maybe I'm not here to judge, but he was like the it guy there for a while between his music and his limited field. Film career. So anyway, that's the news. Not a lot going on, but a lot going on all at the same time. But the real reason why we brought Doug on to hang out with us is we all wanted to field a team of NFL offseason losers. Guys who, that in our opinion, lost the most. So we're going to hit you with a quarterback, couple of running backs, couple of wide receivers, and a tight end. I'm going to jump in here first. That way I can, you know, just sit back and produce and try to pick on Jerry, because that's usually my favorite thing to do. My quarterback loser, he didn't really get any competition, and nor would it matter, because he was the electric Patrick Mahomes. You know, all this guy did was complete 383 passes last year for 5,097 yards, 50 TDs. Jerry, what's 50 TDs known as?
That's a Mahomes.
That is a Mahomes of touchdowns. Anytime you throw 50 or more, it is a Mahomes of touchdowns. But, you know, what really scares me is that he lost Kareem Hunt to suspension slash team cut slash now he's a Cleveland Brown. And I don't think Tyreek Hill is that far behind him. Obviously, they drafted Mecole Hardman with their first overall pick in the rookie draft. But you know what, Jerry? Do you know what Tyreek Hill and Kareem Hunt have in common?
What is that?
They are two of Patrick Mahomes' three best targets. Obviously, the third being Travis Kelce. So I just put, you know, pen to paper and started doing some math. So of Mahomes' 580 targets last year, Hill and Hunt were responsible for 200 of that, or 34.5%. Of his 383 completions, they were responsible for 140. So that's 36.6%. Of his, we'll call it 5,100 yards passing, they were responsible for just a shade under 2,000, 1,934 yards, or 38% of his total yards. And then 19 of his 50 passing touchdowns. That's 38% of his passing touchdowns. Basically, what Patrick Mahomes lost is just a shade over a third, but not quite 40% of his, you know, playmakers from last year. And so something has to happen. Either he's going to take I think we were all expecting a step back anyway. I mean, it was kind of a magical season. But he's either going to take a significant step back, or guys like Mecole Hardman, Damian Williams. I think Damian Williams' role's okay. No real competition. We talked about Darwin Thompson earlier. They also drafted, they brought in undrafted free agent James Booby Williams. Big
boobies!
Fan. Booby, a big fan of boobies. And so something's got to hit. And I think Patrick Mahomes was a big loser. Not anything that he did wrong. It's the knuckleheads that he's, you know, on a team with. And then my first RB was LeSean McCoy, who's a very bad person for attempting to ruin Avengers Endgame on Twitter. You had to duck, dip, and dodge and dive LeSean McCoy and people like that till you finally saw it. Is that right, Doug?
Yeah, I had a friend that was like, I can't believe LeSean McCoy. And I was like, all right, not going to Twitter.
Yeah.
I had an idea, like one of the characters that I had an idea, but I didn't want anything spoiled. So I was luckily, I avoided spoilers. I've seen Endgame twice now. I liked it better the second time around, by the way.
It's on my to-do list a second time, but, LeSean McCoy, he's 30 years old and he's got a $9 million cap hit as a running back. The problem is that his dead cap number is only 2.6. So the team could save $6.4 million by cutting him. They're not really in cap hell. They've got $26 million as of when I checked today. But this is a team that seems hell-bent on going young. They've got T.J. Yeldon they just brought in, and he's only 25 and makes $1.3 million. The ageless wonder, Frank Gore, who's 36. You imagine that, 36 and still playing in the NFL, only makes $2 million, and then recently drafted Devin Singletary, 21 years old, makes $750,000. So between the two of them, between the three of them, they don't even make about $4 million. And this is a team obviously going young. They've got Josh Allen at quarterback, Robert Foster at one of their wide receiver positions. We talked about Dawson Knox before we hit the record button. There's the ever knuckleheaded Zay Jones. And then the older guys with Beasley and John Brown they brought in. So I think LeSean McCoy is done and should be. Aaron Jones of the Green Bay Packers. This is a guy who's missed 8 of 32 career games. He's only started 12 of 24 games. He's got a new head coach in Matt LaFleur, not to be confused with Peter LaFleur from Dodgeball.
Or Guy LaFleur.
Or I don't know who Guy LaFleur is.
A hockey player.
Oh,
I got played hockey up north, don't you know?
You know, Indiana is about like the line where like hockey stops. Indianapolis, I don't know if it's popular north of here, but not big where I live. But, you know, this is a guy who had a 60-40 split last year the wrong way in Tennessee. He gave Deion Lewis 59% of the touches, snaps, and Derrick Henry had 41% of the snaps. And they drafted Dexter Williams. He's really more of a – Dexter's really more of a threat to Jamal Williams. Not really a great receiver, but do you feel comfortable if, you know, you're banking on Aaron Jones not knowing – what's going on? I mean, he could be great. We saw some big stuff out of him. Go ahead, Doug.
I will give you, because I am maybe one of the OG Aaron Jones stans. And I just recorded a segment for the Roto Underworld Draft Kit about Aaron Jones. Touting Aaron Jones that I think he's going to be an RB1 this year. I'm not worried about Dexter Williams in the draft. Doesn't bother me. If you look at just the metrics on what he does when he's on the field. Now, I know he had the 2-game suspension and he missed a couple games in the season. But he had an 8-game stretch last year where he averaged over 100 yards from scrimmage a game and averaged over a touchdown a game when he was at peak health. He led the NFL in yards per carry, which yards per carry is a skewed metric. I get it. But his breakaway run rate actually wasn't as good as it was in 2017 when he was fourth best in the whole NFL in breakaway run rate. So Aaron Jones, to me, his yards after contact is one of the best in the league, according to PFF. There's a lot of metrics. And the only thing that would get me off Aaron Jones would be, yeah, does he get dinged up? Sure, he does. He's a running back. He's not a big guy. But man, when he is on the field, and I think them drafting Jay Sternberger to open up the middle of that field is only going to help him more this year, because they didn't have that middle of the field presence. I mean, Jimmy Graham is the walking dead, and you had Randall Cobb, who was not on the field and largely ineffective. So they didn't have anyone over the middle of the field to even open things up further for Aaron Jones. But man, Aaron Jones in space in between the tackles, I love Aaron Jones. So yeah. I think he's. I actually had him as a winner after the draft.
Oh well, for me, it's more about the coach and not knowing. I think we all agree, but we saw last year.
Dive into the void with me, Memphis. I'll just let it go.
All right. Well, I will consider taking him. I'll put him on my my hold team. Maybe I'll re-add him to the winners team because of our wonderful guest. But my two wide receivers, Nelson Aguilar and Jarvis Landry. Nelson Aguilar,
not going to switch him off of those.
Nelson Aguilar, his job is safe because he's got a $9.4 million cap hit and a $9.4 million dead cap hit. But I mean, this is a team that brought in DeSean Jackson. They drafted J.J. Arcega-Whiteside very high in the draft. AFL hero Charles Johnson has signed a contract there. And I think we're going to see the emergence of Dallas Goedert in more two tight end sets. And when they're in two tight end sets, I think the two wide receivers on the field will be DeSean Jackson and Alshon Jeffrey. Obviously, they'll work in Whiteside a little bit. So if you've been hanging on to Nelson Aguilar shares, hopefully they trade him. I don't see a team taking a $9.4 million cap number on a guy like him. But this is the new NFL. Crazy stuff happens. And then Jarvis Landry. I don't dislike Jarvis Landry, but they just added Odell Beckham Jr. via trade. He works the same area of the field as David Njoku, and then Duke Johnson or Kareem Hunt are both really good pass catchers. And when Freddie Kitchens took over as the play caller for the Cleveland Browns last year in Week 9, of those last 8 games, he finished with 12.5 or less points in 5 of the 8. And in 3 of those games, he had less than 7. So that's PPR scoring, too. So Nelson and Jarvis were definitely lost this offseason. And then Doug already mentioned my tight end, Jimmy Graham. Jimmy Graham is due to – hold on to your hats – due to make $11.7 million this year.
What's his dead cap hit?
3.7. So the team saves –
I would have cut him a while ago.
Well, and Green Bay currently only has $8.9 million in cap space. So I mean, they can almost double their working cap number by cutting this dude. He's 32 years old. He's coming off 55 receptions, which is the third lowest of his 9-year career. He only had 2 TDs. And you know what? Jace is in the place. You know, Doug mentioned Jace Sternberger. I'm all about it.
Jace in your face.
Jace in your face. We want Jace. We want Jace, and we want Jimmy gone. So that's my team. I had Patrick Mahomes. I had LeSean McCoy, Aaron Jones, Jarvis Landry, Nelson Aguilar, and Jimmy Graham. Jerry, anything on my picks? I know Doug was not a fan of the Aaron Jones.
No, I mean, and I see where you're both coming from with Aaron Jones. I was also one of the OG stands of Aaron Jones. I loved that pick so much, but
yes,
brother gotta play though. I need you on the field, my man. So I see where you're both coming from. And other than that, I fully do agree. I don't think Patrick Mahomes is gonna go too far down. I think he can make plays to whoever it is. I don't want to say he's Brady where he just, you know, he'll get me a couple touchdowns, but even if you have people with a pulse, he'll find them.
I mostly put him on there to I don't want to say trap, but engage in conversation those that say Mecole Hardman is too much of an outlier to produce. You know what? There's 2,000 yards on the table. There's 19 touchdowns on the table. There's 140 receptions on the table. Someone has to pick that up. And if you're a defensive coordinator, who are you game planning for? You're game planning for Travis Kelce. And then probably the running back. So maybe Sammy finally breaks out to what we thought he could be in year six.
God, I hope so.
I know.
You and everybody else that's listening.
But I still think he's going to, you know, not throw 50, 100 yards. I think it'll be more in like that 4,400, 4,500-yard range. He'll probably be around 40 touchdowns.
Which is still fantastic.
Which is still, a great season.
Who do we think throws more touchdowns this year, Mahomes or Mayfield?
Oh, I'll take Mahomes all day, every day.
Yeah, me too.
Okay.
That's not anti-Baker.
Oh,
but
sure. No,
he plays in the black and blue division. He's still going to have some black and blue games with the Steelers. Obviously, he gets two free spaces against the Cincinnati Bengals. Yeah, I meant that. But yeah, I would still bank on Mahomes. I think Baker's safe for probably, what did he throw last year? 23, 24, broke a
27,
record?
27, I think, 27. Was the record, and he broke it.
Yeah. I'm going to say you can add 10, 15% to that, so that's going to put him in like the 30, 32 range-ish. But I still think Patrick throws a bunch. So anyway, that is my team. I'm going to throw it over to our esteemed guest, the Fantasy Father. What you got? Who are your guys?
So I don't have like some real salt. I mean, at quarterback, looking at the draft, I don't think there was a lot of losers. I mean, the first one that came to mind, because this is a guy that gets drafted in super flex leagues to kind of be that bridge quarterback. Like, I missed out on some big names. I got a quarterback. It's Case Keenum. Obviously the Redskins taking Dwayne Haskins really sinks Keenum. I think, you know, we had a startup before the draft, Memphis, and Case Keenum and the Joe Flaccos of the world are kind of that last tier that gets drafted. And people are hoping like, yeah, I can start these guys, because in Superflex, any starting quarterback has value, right? So Case Keenum, I think Haskins is going to have that job from day one. I don't have any real hot takes on any other quarterbacks, because I don't think there was anything. I like your Mahomes take, because I think we may have seen the best Patrick Mahomes in this first full season. I hope not, but I mean, it definitely could be that way. So I'll go. I actually have a handful of wide receivers. I only have one running back, so I'm gonna go the wide receiver route. Actually, no, I'll go running back first. It was talking that, you know, for all the reasons that we said earlier, when they trade up into the third round to get Darrell Henderson, that was a screaming red flag for me. No matter what they say, he's fine, feels great, blah, blah, blah. You're full of crap. When you move up that far to get a running back and make him the fourth running back drafted, they're either going to change the offense or Todd Gurley is more hurt than everyone thinks. And I think
actions
it's a little
speak louder than words.
Right. And I think it's a little bit of both. I think that Gurley is hurt, and I think they are going to evolve that offense, because look what that offense got them in the Super Bowl. It got them, what, 3 points, 6 points? I don't even remember the final score. It was like 13-6. So yeah, I think they're going to evolve that offense and make it a little bit more like the New Orleans offense. I mean, why wouldn't you? I mean, you've had the same offense now for a couple of years. People can game plan against that. You're not doing anything overly creative at this point, so you need to kind of do something new. So I have Todd Gurley as a loser. As far as wide receivers go, the one that sticks out the most to me just after this whole offseason between free agency and the NFL draft is Corey Davis. So the first problem is Marcus Mariota is your starting quarterback. The second problem is they signed Adam Humphries for over $9 million a year in free agency. And then in the NFL draft, they use pretty good draft capital in the second round to draft A.J. Brown. So Corey Davis, the argument for Davis was there's no one else there. He's going to get a ton of targets. All they have is Taywan Taylor and Tajay Sharp. Well, now you have A.J. Brown, Adam Humphries, and Delanie Walker presumably is going to come back, and that's going to siphon targets off Corey Davis. It's not that I don't like the player. I do like Corey Davis as a player, but the situation is not good. And part of the problem is Marcus Mariota and him not evolving into the quarterback that we thought he was going to be. And I won't be shocked next year. So he's a free agent at the end of this year because they picked up his fifth-year option, much like Jameis Winston did in Tampa. I wouldn't be shocked if they go and draft a quarterback next year. Maybe they trade up for a Justin Herbert or Hey Bear or however the hell you say it. Wouldn't shock me whatsoever if they – I don't think they're going to turn it over to Tannehill, mind you. But I wouldn't be shocked if they make a move at quarterback because Marcus Mariota, to me, is what's really holding that offense back. I mean, why have all these pass catchers if you're just going to run the ball with Derrick Henry? I don't know. That situation kind of boggles my mind. Do you guys have any thoughts on Corey Davis?
I do on not just Marcus Mariota, but you can say the same thing for Andy Dalton and any quarter. I mean, Derek Carr, who I like this year. I think he's got a chance to solidify his job. But here's the thing. Tua, Herbert, and Fromm are coming to the NFL next year along with some others. And some of those guys are going to get starting jobs. So you got to take a step back, you know, and look at it from 30,000 feet and look down and say, well, whose job is he's taking? They're not taking Andrew Luck's. They're not taking Deshaun Watson's. They're not taking, you know, I know there's some older quarterbacks. There's, you know, the Breeze, the Brady. You know, Phil Rivers is no spring chicken, Big Ben. But, I mean, they're going to take someone's job. And this is a prime job. And I think they're just setting that up. I think that's a very good call. I could easily see like a Fromm or a Herbert winding up in Tennessee next year and really not seeing this offense off open up. I don't think Arthur Smith, the OC, wants to do that. But I could think you could definitely see some of the shackles come off of guys like Corey Davis, like A.J. Brown, and really see an interesting offense.
Yeah, I think that the on paper, the potential for this offense is great. But, I mean, when you have when the head of Voltron doesn't control the rest of the body the way you want it to, then you have a defective robot. So that's just the way I'm going to put that. I have another loser at the wide. Actually, I have a couple more wide receivers. I went wide receiver heavy for whatever reason, just the names that came to me. One was Devin Funchess. So I know Funchess was getting a lot of buzz after he signed the one-year deal in Indianapolis. And people were like, oh, he's going to play the big slot role and he's going to be outside. So the Colts go and draft Paris Campbell. So the thing, Funchess to me takes a hit and he's a loser because you have T.Y. Hilton, you have Paris Campbell, you have presumably a healthy Jack Doyle with Eric Ebron, you have Nyheim Hines, Marlon Mack. There's a ton of targets. And I don't think Funchess, if you had to prioritize the guys that you're going to get the ball to, Funchess isn't at the top of that list for me. If anything, he's the outside guy. He's the tall receiver. Maybe he does some damage in the red zone. But, I mean, if Funchess catches 50 balls, I'll be shocked.
As the Residence Colts fan, I will say this. Yes, he lost in terms of, like, potential production and things like that. But he won in the fact that he got a one-year $15 million deal.
Oh, sure.
So I will give him a slight win. So you said you had one more?
So I had Tyreek Hill on my loser. We already talked about the Kansas City offense. I mean, I think the writing's on the wall for that one. I mean, when they trade up and they get Mecole Hardman, who's – I don't want to say the closest thing to Tyreek Hill in this draft, but a lot of people will say that. You know, that's kind of the insurance policy. And again, actions speak louder than words. And that was one that gave me a red flag. I'll give you two more wide receivers on the same team. It's Dante Moncrief and James Washington. So I know a lot of people were on Washington, like, go buy James Washington in Dynasty. Go buy James Washington. Then they signed Dante Moncrief, who I like a lot, one of Tyler's guys. And he's been a guy of mine for a long time. I think he's a solid wide receiver, and I think he could fit in that offense well. And then they take Deontay Johnson in the third round. And, you know, the Steelers have this reputation of finding guys at the wide receiver position. They did it with Antonio Brown. They did it with Emmanuel Sanders. You know, guys that they've been able to draft late. Eli Rogers to a point. Like, he was fantasy relevant for a little while. They have this knack of finding receivers that fit their system really well, and then they can make them into good players. Now, is Johnson that guy? I mean, he came out of Toledo. He wasn't even really the best receiver on his team when you look at it. But that's kind of like, I don't think they have a lot of confidence in James Washington. And I think a lot of it starts with Big Ben because he's the biggest diva DB on the planet next to Aaron Rodgers. And, you know, when he calls out the wide receiver in public, especially a rookie, I have a feeling that he's not in the circle of trust with Roethlisberger. So James Washington and Moncrief take a little bit of a hit here because they did invest draft capital in Johnson, who when they drafted him, I was like, who? Because no one was talking about this kid pre-draft process, like combine. Nothing. I didn't hear his name once when people were doing mock drafts or anything.
I heard more about his college teammate, Cody Thompson.
Thompson.
Yeah. Who,
yeah.
Who,
yeah, that's him.
He signed as a UDF as an undrafted free agent with the Kansas City Chiefs. Hint, hint, keep an eye on him. He's a guy that if you got room on the back end of your roster and you can pick him up and throw him on your taxi squad. But yeah, no, I agree. And I've been trying to sell and pawn off Dante Moncrief on Tyler in the UDPL a lot, but he's not biting. And did you have a tight end to add to your
I didn't have, we talked about Kyle Rudolph earlier, and I think he's the glaringly obvious one. When they drafted Irv Smith Jr., it was like, all right, Rudolph, you're out. And the funny thing is the Vikings actually had to rework Eric Kendrick's deal today to sign their first round draft pick. So they're a team that's absolutely up against it from a cap standpoint. So I think they're just looking for someone to trade for Rudolph, and if that doesn't happen, they're just going to cut him.
Yeah, that you are absolutely correct. Currently, they've got $2.5 million. I don't know how their latest transactions has affected that, but that's not a lot of money under the cap. So we'll see where Mr. Rudolph goes. That would not be a bad move for Oakland to trade like a conditional pick for him. But Jerry, who were your losers coming out of the total offseason of coaches' hires, free agency, the draft, etc.?
All right, so I'm going to go with the most disrespected man of the draft, and that is Josh Rosen. That poor guy, you get drafted in the first round, they trade up for you, and then you're gone. You get one season, and it's not that he's going to have competition or anything, because he's not in Miami. The problem is you went from an offense that was going to have Cliff Kingsbury bringing that air raid. They ended up going wide receiver heavy. You were actually going to get some pieces around you and not just bone dust Larry Fitzgerald and a rookie Christian Kirk. And now you get Miami with maybe Devontae Parker.
Did you say bone dust?
Yeah, bone dust. He's got a little bone dust in his knees. But yeah, I mean, I'm not a Devontae Parker guy. You know, maybe Rosen can make something of him. Doubtful. So I just, I can't. I see no way that he won in that situation. And he went from playing in a dome. Now he's playing outside. Granted, Miami is probably gorgeous. I've never been there because I live in the Great White North.
It's hot and humid.
Yeah, see?
No state. My style. He's a winner in no state income tax.
Yeah.
I'm trying.
So as a human, he won.
I'm
he's
trying.
Like Devin Funchess. As far as running backs go, there was a couple. Let's talk about Jerick McKinnon. Oh, boy. How'd that roll? Go for you. You were going to be the Tevin Coleman, and then Tevin Coleman joined, and now Matt Breed is there. And no, thank you. I'm good on that whole situation.
And they re-signed Raheem Mostert.
Yeah. It's, I mean, good luck deciphering how that backfield turns out. Yes, Shanahan gives you all the running back glory that you want in your fantasy teams, but at some point, there's just too many mouths to feed. Another guy that I am a little more down on than most. And they also drafted a guy who I really like, and that's Dalvin Cook when they drafted Alexander Mattison. Dalvin Cook, you only play half your games, which...
We're going to fight.
Yeah, I mean, listen, for the things that I was down on Aaron Jones for, Dalvin Cook's even worse when it comes to being on the field. And Alexander Mattison is a guy that is a fighter. You can't watch him play at Boise State and just not see a dude that just tries and tries and tries every single time he's on the field. Another guy that I love, Darius Geis. And they're going to draft Bryce Love. Here's my thing. If you are going to draft a running back because you're worried because your running back has a torn ACL, why in Sam hell would you draft a running back that has a torn ACL?
Because you have the insurance of Adrian Peterson?
I guess. Yeah. Oh, let's talk about bone dust. Adrian Peterson.
Hey, Samaje Perine doesn't have an ACL injury.
Yeah, no, he's also bad. And
yeah, he is.
Darius Geis could run backwards faster and better than he could. But all right, Doug, come at me for the takes.
All right, so I understand that Dalvin Cook's NFL career has been slightly shortened because of an ACL tear.
Slightly shortened.
Now, I am a big Florida State fan. I have seen pretty much every Dalvin Cook snap of his Florida State career. Now, him coming into the draft, they were like, oh, he's got health issues. He didn't miss hardly any time at Florida State. He had a shoulder injury in his freshman year, and that was about it. I mean, he might have missed a game or two like the next few years at Florida State. So he doesn't have an injury history. He's not this guy that chronically gets hurt. He tears his ACL in his rookie season. And then second year, yeah, he's got some issues because when you tear an ACL, typically, you're going to have some sort of issue afterwards, but then that issue clears up. He comes back midway through the season, and Dalvin Cook looks like old Dalvin Cook. They invested in the offensive line pretty heavily in the draft. I love everything around him. Dalvin Cook, to me, his value doesn't go down at all after bringing in Madison. Madison is pretty much like, I don't think they can give Dalvin 25 touches a game, but I think Dalvin's going to touch the ball between 15 and 20 times a game. And Madison, they'll flavor him in, you know, here and there. I do like Madison as a player, but they also have Mike Boone, who a lot of people like as a guy there as well. I think Madison, out of all the rookies that are getting drafted in these rookie drafts, I think he's one of the guys that people are overdrafting. Like, he's going mid-second, late-second, and I'm just shaking my head. Like, unless you own Dalvin Cook, like, I don't see it, personally.
I mean, I'm not taking him that high. Me and Randy Cohen on that Debbie team that we referenced earlier, and we took him, I think it was 308 or 306, somewhere
there. See, I got no problem, like, mid to late third, that's cool. But in, like, the industry drafts that I've been, he's been going late second, and I'm like, maybe it's just a testament of how bad this running back class is after the first four guys. Maybe that's what it is, and people are just like, you know what? He's the best available running back, and he may have opportunity. I get it. If Dalvin Cook goes down with injury, Madison is probably going to be the starter there. So much like we talked about Damian Harris and Sony Michel, maybe Madison, that's the upside play there, is that if Cook does go down with an injury. But if Cook doesn't go down with an injury, Cook is one of these guys that could absolutely tear up the league this year.
I agree. I'm not arguing with that. Because, it, like you said, at Florida State, the dude was fire.
Against great competition.
Yeah, he was unbelievable. Mm-hmm. But I am a person that hedges his bets. I am a gambler in my heart and in my soul from my head to my toes. And sometimes you get a little too risky. You got to play it safe a little bit. That's why I like Alexander Madison. And that's why it scares me a little bit with Cook. But as far as the wide receivers go.
I'll say on Madison real quick, Jerry. Madison was the 102nd player off the board in the NFL draft. So it wasn't like
shockingly.
He wasn't like he's like a fifth round or a sixth round guy. He went in the third round. He was the 102nd overall pick in the entire draft. So I'm not so much. Is Rock Thomas still there? And
he had some legal trouble. I think he's still on the roster, but he had an arrest in the offseason and some other stuff going on. So he's not a lock to make the squad. But I did like Rock Thomas in preseason last year. He looked good.
Gotcha. Okay.
Okay. Wide receivers. Doug already alluded to the Corey Davis issue. Mariota's there. They draft A.J. Brown. They side Adam Humphries. That's as obvious gets. Then we got Christian Kirk, another guy that I like. I've been calling him Golden Tate my whole life. He's just got that shake and bake that he can make a guy miss and get some yardage. They brought in Andy Isabella. They brought in Hakeem Butler. You know, this is a new quarterback. This is a new system. If he's the guy that ends up getting featured in that offense, he's going to be good, and I'm going to get pie thrown in my face for this. But if he's not, he's going to just plummet. And I think Andy Isabella might just be better just because he's a lightning bolt that can create separation like no man's business. I wrote down Tyler Lockett. I don't know. I sort of disagree with that. Now, they did draft Gary Jennings in the fourth, who's big. He's fast. He runs straight pretty well. And then they drafted DK Metcalf, who sort of does the same thing.
He's big and runs straight. I love it.
So I think I disagree with writing that down now. As far as tight ends go, I wrote down Kyle Rudolph. That's obvious. The other one, though, those guys that you've been waiting on, they've been sitting in your taxi squads. They've been sitting at the bottom of your roster. And they just became irrelevant when the Broncos drafted Noah Fant and Jake Butt and Troy Fumagalli. Oh. Everybody's been riding the Butt train, and it's just not going to come to fruition. I am sorry to break your hearts. Butt will get no play.
That Butt train is cracked.
Fantastic. I actually prefer Fumagalli. I just like the name. Troy Fumagalli, like an extra on the Sopranos.
he's missing part of a finger, too, which makes him all that more intriguing. Right.
He could hang out with Tommy
that
Sweeney.
That was from
kid.
A mob hit.
Yeah. That's how he got in. I think actually
he auditioned to be in the Joker's gang, and he threw the poo cue down. He was in that scene, and one of the guys actually chewed his finger off in the scrum.
Okay. We've come full circle. The one guy that Jerry talked about, I feel about him the same way I feel about Aaron Jones. It's not that I don't like the talent. That's Christian Kirk. I like Aaron Jones's talent. I like Christian Kirk's talent. I just don't know what the hell the new head coach is going to do. I don't know what the new offensive coordinator is going to do. I don't know who he likes. I don't know. We talked about Kenyon Drake earlier. You know, the one thing that and I looked, Doug, he was RB14 in PPR last year. You know, as far as I know, the new head coach and offensive coordinator don't hate Kenyon Drake, so I can expect good things there. It's Christian Kirk and Jones are examples of guys that I feel like lost because I don't know. And as an owner, you've got to invest in the unknown at a pretty fair, at a pretty, you know, less than reasonable price. I mean, I think as an Aaron Jones owner myself, I'm not giving the guy away. Same thing with Christian Kirk. So it's just really odd that asset could either increase in value or quickly decrease in value. And that's why I had him as losers.
I mean, listen, I ain't mad at you. But that's the thing with Christian Kirk. If Kyler Murray likes him, and in that air raid, oh my goodness, those PPR points are just going to be filthy. Just stack them to the ceiling.
Mm-hmm.
I think he'll be a guy that he'll be a buy next year. I think Larry Fitzgerald's going to be there. I think Larry will continue to work a lot of that slot role. And I think this will be an ongoing decision with Christian Kirk and Andy Isabella. I'm not so much worried about Hakeem Butler, where I got Hakeem Butler. I got him in the third round in two rookie drafts. I feel like
that's good value.
I feel like I got a steal. You know, if he, mm-hmm. you know, if
I would sell my left leg if I could get Hakeem Butler in the third round.
No, you wouldn't.
I'm right leg dominant, so I could hop along pretty well.
You would regret that. And you know what? You know what I don't regret? I don't regret having Doug come on to hang out with us for a little bit and talk about, you know, some news and some postseason. Excuse me, some after season losers, whatever you want to call it, the NFL offseason. It never really stops for us in Dynasty. But, Doug, anything that you want to plug before we get you out of here?
Yeah, I said at the top of the show, make sure to follow me on Twitter at DaFantasyFather. That's D-A Fantasy Father, because the was too long. So people are like, oh, why'd you do duh? And I was like, because I couldn't put the. So that's why I put DaFantasyFather. I'm a stay-at-home dad, so that was the inspiration for that. You know, I stay at home with my now two sons, and I love fantasy football. So Duff Fantasy Father on Twitter. Check me out on Dynasty Happy Hour. Check out the Patreon page for that. Trophy Time on all your major podcast networks. And then you can also check out tffgurus.com. Lots of great content there from myself. I write about DraftKings every single week during the season. We've got some Dynasty content as well. But if you're big into redraft, that's where we kind of we fill our niches in the redraft space. Check out tffgurus.com.
That is awesome. Jerry, anything before we take this thing home?
No. Send in your emails to Randy so I can get you in the Listener League. And those that are in the Listener League with me, thank you for making it easy, those of you that are in it and drafting now.
It's going to be a lot of fun. And Jerry, you can give us a little bit of report on that Listener League later in the week. Remember, we're on Clipcast at clip_cast on Twitter. I know the Dynasty Happy Hour guys are on there as well. Just throw a player's name in there, Todd Gurley, Christian Kirk, whoever, and it will take you to not only the Dynasty Warzone or the Dynasty Happy Hour, but to any show that is affiliated with Clipcast that has content on Todd Gurley or whoever you're looking for. I am Memphis at DFF Memphis, and remember, we're just trying to make the world a better place for fantasy football. We will catch you next week.